Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
Welcome to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. This is epic episode 18 tonight, with a star date of October the 4th, 2022 AD. This has been our new show, our fun show each month. We broadcast from the Space Age Bachelor Pad all over the nation in 25 countries. Now, a lot of folks have asked about this show. This show is the first Tuesday of each month. Now, our Thursday show will still be around here in two more days. We'll get to that. That's more of our hard-hitting political show. But this show is our fun show. Kick back a little bit. Get away from all the hot and heavy politics of the day that we will talk about a lot of things on the show. This show is very unique in the sense that it's the only one of its kind. It's the only one like it anywhere. Because guys have emailed me for years and called the show, and they want to talk about these things. So, guys, this is your opportunity, and ladies, too, to call into the show and tell me what topics you want to talk about. The whole galaxy is big. It's based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. So we know the galaxy and the cosmos is very, very large. There's a ton of topics we could talk about. And this show, well, people have asked me, is it the dating game or The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy? Well, it's a radio show and a mix of both worlds. We just sort of mesh them together and see what happens on live radio every Tuesday, first Tuesday of every month, and we'll talk about everything under the sun. Everything in this life affects the American Bachelor, even down to his infamous caveman dating habits and tactics. We'll also talk about current events, chicks, war and peace, Biden inflation, and economics, how that affects the Bachelor. Toxic masculinity, you name it, as nothing is ever off the table on my show. It's a Von Wiehunt production. Hope you enjoy it, America. We always enjoy you every week. Now, first-time callers, get in. First in line, 563-999-3437. So glad you're here tonight. We will discuss a few things tonight, like the MGTOW movement. I know some of you want to hear about that. Expat lifestyle. Toxic dating in America. Maybe some of you guys are thinking about tying the knot with your sweetheart. Having kids today is a big production and very expensive. Choose wisely, boys. Choose very wisely in the marriage department. We'll talk about real estate. I want to get into that a little bit on the show. A lot of you guys are emailing the show and calling me during the week, texting, asking about real estate. Should you buy? Should you not buy? Rates are going up. The Fed is screwing with everyone's financial future. We'll get into that, the money of it all. Show me the money. as they said in Jerry Maguire. We'll get to, of course, ladies, chicks, the girl next door. In my book, I always say the most expensive call girl in the world. Think about it, or you'll figure it out later. We'll get to jobs. We'll get to how current events, all these things are affecting you guys, some style issues. We'll play some good music. We'll have a great time. But first is first. We're so glad for our epic retro encore episode number 18 tonight. Now, this show is growing big time. A lot of you guys have just heard about it. You're tuning in. Your college dorms, maybe. Maybe you're recently divorced and you're looking for some answers to your life. Maybe you're a young high school or college buck coming up. Maybe you're a middle-aged guy. You're rethinking your life. Your kids are grown. Your wife wants a divorce, or you want to divorce her, and you're thinking of moving overseas and getting out of America, at least for 8 or 10 months a year before it hits the fan over here or elsewhere. You might be thinking about an expat lifestyle. Well, inside the world of America's favorite guilty pleasure, brought to you by your illustrious host, Father Lee Hunt. We'll be broadcasting about all this tonight and talking about it. Because ladies can walk into a bookstore. They can turn on the TV. And there must be a million books, 10,000 books dedicated to women and how they feel and how they think, how to pick up guys. If you're a lady, books on how to cope with everything in their lives. You turn on the TV, what do you see? One female talk show host after the other. Again and again and again. There isn't one show on TV dedicated to the American male. I know you. You're dumbed down right now. You're downtrodden. This Biden economy has got you by the tail. It's kicking your ass. You're feeling low. You're feeling beat up by the system, by the man. Maybe by your girlfriend who you used to like, but now she's just a raving lunatic and bitch that you want to dump and get rid of. I feel you. Guys are out there. You're listening in. Not sure what to do with your life. You're not sure where to go, what moves to make. Well, think of this show as yours truly, as maybe the big brother you never had, maybe the uncle you never had, the father you never had, the friend you never had. That's what this show represents. Your wish in this life should be your command, in my book. Don't be a bitch boy. Now, I know society tries to denigrate you, push you in the dirt. Since you were a young boy, you always heard women are made of sugar and spice and everything nice. And the boys, well, to our political leaders, you are cannon fodder for the next war, whether you know it or not. Don't fall for that crap. To the women, you're a walking ATM machine. They want to suck you dry, boys. Suck your money out of you. More ways than one. This is not a show that is anti-marriage. There are certain things this show is, and there are things this show is not. I tell guys all the time, if you meet the right girl, go for it. But if you don't, never, ever force a situation, a bad situation upon your life. You will live to regret it. Many of you guys will do that anyway. You won't listen to me or the show or the callers. You'll do your own thing. There's an old phrase for that. You made your bed, and now you've got to lie in it. Well, we'll get to all that and much, much more. But at every show, every month, we have a new batch of listeners all across the nation, in foreign countries, at our military bases and outposts, all across the world. We salute you all. We must induct you properly into the Radio Bachelor Fraternity. We'll start that tonight.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at arms. Do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman has given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes. Well, once you're properly inducted, you'll know what the show's about. This is a good show. We will talk about many things. And tonight, as every show night, we hold in honor the manly freedom fighters all over the globe. We know about the wars in Ukraine and elsewhere. But we don't want to get into too much heavy stuff on the show. This is more of a lighter show, more of a fun show. So I raise my goblet of wine and my stein of beer to all of you tonight. I'm wearing my red velvet smoking jacket with cigar in hand, mafioso style. Be ready to rock and roll as always. This is a show based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's the retro and modern day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. You can find this book at all fine bookstores. It's the only book you will ever need in life. It's a large book, but like the galaxy, it's big, packed with information, chock full, as they say down south. It's a lot of things that you need to know. We can get into a lot of things tonight, but one thing I did want to mention was about you. Now, on the last show last month, we talked about your dreams, things you want to achieve. Don't let anybody talk you out of your dreams. Don't let anybody talk you out of you being the best that you can be. Be the master of your own domain. Only you can pursue your dream. There's an old saying that I learned a long time ago. It's the famous 10 words. Better write this down. Class is in session. And it goes like this. If it is to be, it is up to me. Never forget that. If it is to be, it is up to me. In other words, no one's going to drag you kicking and screaming through life. At some point, everything relies on you. What I'm saying is that it's about, in a weird way, it's about personal responsibility. You are responsible. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, for your own life, in large part. Yes, there are things that just happened to us. Yes, we can talk about the philosophy of that, why bad things happen to good people. All true, all relevant. But in the final analysis, you as a bachelor in America, you are responsible for your success. You are responsible for the vast majority, put it that way, of how your life turns out. It's up to you to make things happen. At some point in your life, we're all born, into a family. And as you grow older, your siblings may kind of pair off and go their own way. American families are very independent. Many are very divisive today. You've got one uncle on one side of the country, one uncle on the other side of the country. After a certain age, people tend to go their own way. A wise man once told me that jobs or companies and women and friends, as you go through life, they come and they go. Never forget that. You can't hold on to everybody 24/7 or everything. Jobs, women, and friends come and go. They come and go. The friends you had 20 years ago, I guarantee you, are probably not your friends today. Why? You moved on. They moved on. The friends you might have had a couple years ago, that adage may still apply to you. So just know that things happen. There's some people that can walk into a company, they get promoted, they'll be there for 30 or 40 years, they get the gold key, the gold watch, applauded at the meetings, elevated over your lowly position. Don't worry about those guys. Don't envy them. Don't ever covet what somebody else has. Just work on yourself. Stop worrying about things you can't control, people that are in your life. Worry about yourself, your home, your personal economy, your personal finances. Oh, by all means, be aware of what's around you. Sun Tzu and the Art of War, be aware of your surroundings. But don't let it eat you alive. That's my message. Work on yourself. Think about your own desk at work or your own workspace. Focus on that. Focus on your personal life. My dad had a great saying, too. He said, no woman's ever going to come knocking on your door. You want a woman? Go out there and find her. Go out there and get her. You're not going to come knocking on your door. Just not. Not the way life works. So as you think about these philosophical concepts, I want you to think deeper. I want you to think more manly, more machismo. As a man, we make lots and lots of decisions for our life. You will notice that people will, after a certain age, will look up to you. They'll hinge what they do on what you do or on what you say. Just make sure you're making the right decisions for yourself in your own life, and things will fall into line at some point. It's not always automatic. It's not overnight. Things do happen. And also think positive. This sounds cliche, but you've heard of the proverbial, is the drink half full or half empty? The glass is always half full. It's a trick question. Only an optimist like myself would tell you the glass is half full. Half empty is not the right answer. So if a job interviewer ever asks you that, you now can take that little piece of news and take that to the bank. The world loves optimism. But that we do live at the same time in a very negative world at times. Again, you got to be aware of it. But don't let people get you down. It's going to be a real bumpy ride this year for a lot of you guys. Credit card debt, I know. You got a job you hate, I know. We've been at work trying to get you in trouble with HR. They're trying to say you touched them. Maybe they're filing bogus complaints against you, trying to get you fired. At the same time, your girlfriend is busting your balls to get married or to get pregnant. You don't want to pay child support to a woman you don't love. Do you really? Do you really want a baby mama? I don't think so. Save your money, boys. Get ahead of the game. You meet somebody special, go for it. If you don't, then you're better off staying single. Go out with your guy friends. You can talk and commiserate among yourselves. Go to a few games, barbecue, have a few beers, knock a few pints back. Talk about life. And the more you think about life and your station in it, the more things will come to revelation, I believe, in your mind. Well, we're so glad you're here tonight. Hope you enjoyed that little monologue there. We have a big show for you with lots of callers. If you want to listen, then sit back and listen. If you want to call in, you can call in. We will put you on the air. We will talk about what's bugging you, what's eating you. We will keep everything on the table tonight. Watch out for those ambushers, guys. I hear they're around every corner. Well, I would say the patron Hollywood actor of the show is the infamous Dino, Dean Martin. He sounds a little bit like this back in the late retro tiki bar 1960s.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Santa Burger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it. Janice Rule, and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink. The edge or on the brink. But bam, bam, bam.
It's too much for one Matt Helm, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
Love that. Well, on this show, we are going back in a time capsule. It's our infamous 18th epic episode, Onwards to the Bachelor Empire. And may God save the Bachelor King. Can you now believe it's the month of October? We're now pushing Halloween in the fall. Unbelievable. Well, as I said before, you will not be happy until you are happy. That's your mission if you choose to accept it. Never forget that. Is everyone busting your chops to get married? Is that really what you want to do? Or is that somebody else's fantasy for you? It's a rhetorical question only. Each to their own. Each to their own devices, I always say. How is your family situation? How's your love life, kid? Well, never forget that the Bachelor King, that we are the masters of our own domain. Always be the master of your own domain. And with that, let's get to the phones, and we'll get to Brett the Surfer somewhere at a beach in the world. Brett, how are you doing, sir?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, just chilling out here, man. How are you?
Doing really, really good. Doing good, man. Well, we know that you called the show a few times. Appreciate that. You're married.
Yeah.
Found the right gal for you.
Man.
But let's give us a good bachelor story back in the day is what the audience wants to hear. A good date or a crazy date?
Well, I'm down in my house in Rocky Point and just kind of chilling out down here for, I don't know, about 5 days. We came down. The weather's changed.
Now, tell the audience what Rocky Point is. Folks, that's in Mexico. But Brett, tell them about the surf and the sand and all. Cause a lot of our people aren't in the Southwest.
Yeah, it's 4-hour drive from Phoenix, Arizona, down to the Sea of Cortez, Puerto Penasco, and I have a surfboard kayak because there really isn't surf down here. So it's great, beautiful, beautiful sunsets and beautiful. The Sea of Cortez really is something else, man. But I was a bachelor at one time down here. I've been coming down here for 20-25 years and. It's a lot of fun, man. My bachelor stories, I've got a lot, but
give us one good one
40,
that you can recall.
So, 40. So
that's X rated, R to X rated.
Yeah. I mean, well, I had a Jägermeister girl. I dated for a little while. That was fun, man. That was
a Jägermeister girl, no doubt.
I had the doors on, and at that time, this is probably in 1991, I think. But the doors. I was really into the doors, and I think I was playing Doors at my place,
cool.
It was a lot of fun. Nothing.
Light my fire, baby.
Wasn't gonna go anywhere. Yeah, that was the song I sang to her, and you knew it wasn't going anywhere. You know, that's not someone you really want a long-term relationship. She just wasn't, the type of woman in marriage material, but wow, she was something else. But, there were a lot of good times, I think for me personally, that was a great time, but it was time, I closed that chapter and opened another chapter. So it's each his own, but many, many times dating different girls and just a lot of fun memories, man. Times that are so crazy, I'm surprised I made it out. Like I think one time, I haven't drank in 11 years, but I think I had a bottle of cognac one night and smoked a Cuban cigar, I think we did. And I don't know, man. All I know is I could have died pretty easily. I ended up
really
waking up, throwing up, you know, that's how Hendrix died. I mean, I got up and, but that's a past life, man. I'm not, like I said, it's been 11 years since I've had a drink. You know, I had to stop. It was going to kill me, you know, but, my body stopped me actually. So, you know, I don't miss any of that. You know, I had some great times, you know, but,
what does she look like? Tell us about the girl. If you can give us the audience her first name and describe her to us, man.
38, Ray was her name.
Ray.
I think R-A-I or something.
Sounds Asian.
That was
she an Asian
good
girl?
Investment. No. She's an Italian girl.
Nice.
Or Greek.
Love Italian girls.
I don't know, but that was a very interesting time, you know. But other times, you know, it can be a dangerous lifestyle, the bachelor lifestyle. So for me, it was always getting to the point where it could have been
danger is my business, Brett, as you know. Danger is my middle name.
Yeah, I mean, if you're up for that, if that's what you want, you know, more power to you.
Well,
some guys, in all fairness, would
say being married is a dangerous lifestyle.
That's
you
true.
You hear about these crazy wives that go nuts, chase you around the house with a knife or try to kill you when you're sleeping. I mean, some of the news is nutso. Some of these women go nuts. And you can't get away from them when you're married. You got to live under the same roof, you know?
Yeah, you do it.
Go ahead,
man. You do it just not realizing that it's a serious decision. And especially when you have kids, you know, like, I have 7-year-old twins. And that's serious business, you know. Getting married is serious, too. But, I mean, once you have kids, then it's game on, man. This is not child play. This is a serious deal. And, you know,
as it should be.
It depends. If you meet someone that you've just gotten married too quickly and decide, oh, I'm have some kids, you know, real quick here, you know, that can be a nightmare, you know? So, take your time and invest. If you're going to, and I've said this before, if you're going to invest, you make an investment, you do your research, you know, you do your due diligence. And that's the most important thing, you know, that's just what you need to do. Because if you don't, it can be a tragedy, you know. I mean, some people just can't handle it. It could be... I don't know. You know, if it's not divorce, you know, there are other things. You know, this Robert Fisher guy they always have on the news, they're looking for him worldwide. You know, he blew up his entire family, you know, and it's like, why, you know, is he dead? I don't know, but they think he's still alive. That's a guy that couldn't handle it, you know. I don't know, but he I don't know if you remember that here in
Alabama, a lot of crazy stories. Yeah, I do. A lot of crazy stories are out there, and I tell guys, do they ever feel pressured into getting married or having a kid or a wife? Do you do it on your dime? It's got to be a manly decision that you make. At the same time, you don't want to take too much time because she might get away from you. It could be the greatest fish story ever told. The fish that got away.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be that guy either.
That's true.
I met guys like that are 60, 70, and they're still crying about the girl they left in 1968 at the L.A. airport. You know, or the girl they left in 1977 there in Burbank or something, or Phoenix, or where I'm at, or Dallas, Chicago.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy. Have some balls. Make a decision.
No regrets.
You know, I mean,
no regrets.
Have no regrets because you might just be the best thing you ever found. Now, as you know, Brett, marriage isn't perfect. And the premise of my show is that guys are bachelors now in America for more years than they are married, if you really analyze it. But I agree with you. once the kids come, guys can play all the games they want. But once the kids come, it's over. Game over, baby. Like that video game, you know?
Well, I know.
And you
got to
step
know.
Up to the plate. Because
yeah.
the society's going to kick your ass. You'll have
yeah.
all kinds of government agencies looking for you. Because you're the Fozzer, right? You just worked
yeah.
out a few kids, and you're leaving town or whatever. They're going to hunt you down for the rest of your life. You better just saddle up for the long haul. It could be a lot worse. I always tell guys, you could be in Ukraine fighting the Russian army. How about them apples?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
yeah.
you think your life's that bad.
The Russian
you don't know
army.
What, you guys
yeah,
don't know what bad
yeah.
is.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
every available bachelor in mighty Russia is being called up as cannon fodder, being drafted, conscripted, shoved in the Russian army to be trained quickly
yeah,
and sent to the front to die for Mother Russia. That could be your life. God, it's not. But that's how a lot of the world operates, guys. At least
it
over
is,
here,
it
you
is.
Can...
Over there.
It's a lot better
yeah.
over here.
Well, over there, I mean, you, one guy, he had five kids. He had never even touched a gun and no training, military training at all. And they're like, nope, you're going to the front lines. And, I mean, that's why they're trying to exit, you know. So it's
yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck
it's
with
a
that.
Scary,
Putin has sealed
yeah.
off the country. Pretty much. Unless you
yeah.
want to get on a
yes.
on a sled in the Russian tundra of Siberia. And sled
Which
down to China.
Coming, man.
I mean, off the Russian steppe. And then you got to worry about the Chinese army. They want to kill you because they secretly hate Russians anyway. So, yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I always say you have to compare your situation to other guys of your generation, of your age in the world. And we have it pretty good over
yeah.
here. We have it pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah,
as
yeah,
bad as
we
it
do,
is
at man, and yeah, yeah, we really do, you know, but things are, this is a different, this isn't the United States of the 50s, man, or the 60s or 70s, you know, now it's just a different, as we veer towards, you know, a totally socialistic, almost communistic world, you know. Unfortunately, that's kind
Armageddon.
Of where we're headed. Yeah, yeah.
It's not
exactly,
your dad's
man,
America,
but,
Brett. It's not your dad's America.
That's true. And
well, this girl
you know
sounded...
It's, yeah, go ahead.
That's a girl sounded really sexy that you had. A lot of fun. But she knew
oh, yeah.
she was just a fun girl. Not a girl you wanted to get serious with.
Oh, of course.
And that's totally
yeah.
cool. That's going to happen more often than not, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you don't want to be the guy who's going to think about someone that you had. You know, it's funny. I had a friend.
I've met him, brother. I've met him. Guys that are,
yeah,
they're like retired. And they go, I wish I would have married that girl I left at the San Francisco or Las Vegas airport, 1984. We broke up at the airport. Another airport breakup story. Like two planes or two ships crossing in the night. And I go,
you know what is funny?
You know what? Maybe you should have just done it. You know, just do it. But again, there must have been something there while you didn't do it. But it might be your own fault. Don't always blame her. It might be your fault, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I had a friend in my single years, you know, he's married now, but when he was single, we were both single, and he was talking about a girl that he dated, and it must have been probably 3 years he talked about her. And after 3 years, he kept on saying, oh, I'm too bad I let that go, you know. And after 3 years, he did start dating her again. And they started hot, you know, started a serious relationship. And you know what? 8 months later, that was over with. So now, can you imagine if he would have gone 30 years and still reminisced, thinking how? But he did see her again after 3 years. They got back together, and
that's
then
good.
He said, "Man, I'm glad I got
that's
rid of
good.
Her."
That's good. Yeah, don't wait 30 years. But, if you're gonna see her again, do it quickly. That's my whole point. Don't be the sad sap, the guy that sits around and talks about a girl that he once knew 30, 40 years ago. He hasn't dated anybody in 20, 25, 30 years. I've met these guys before at Starbucks, various places. They're miserable. Misery loves company. And they want to tell you about a date they had in 1985. And I'm going, man, after hearing that, I'm not your therapist. But I go, why didn't you just do it? Don't tell me about it 40 years later.
Yeah.
30 years later. It's painful for me to hear.
Yeah.
Painful for me to listen to. And I'm going, it must be painful for this guy to keep dredging up the past. You got to live in the present.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I told him, I go, who's your girlfriend now? Forget about that girl. Well, I don't have one now. I go, because you keep thinking about this girl from 1985. That's your problem. He goes, I never thought of it like that before. I go, well, maybe you should. Your problem is you never got over her 30 years later. Don't be one of those guys. Jeez. Get a grip on reality.
Yeah.
Date around. Have some fun.
I mean, that's like, that's
a good these guys normally, Brett, have all the money in the world. Go ahead, man.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like I started a business and it was going great. And, you know, then I sold it and, man, I should have kept that. It's like 30 years later. What if I would have kept that for 30 years or something, you know? But, but you didn't. You know, why? The past is gone. And, you know, why wouldn't you start another business? So you sold the business. Why didn't you start another?
Right.
So the analogy there is, you know, keep on dating. If you want to meet someone, well, that one didn't work. I let it go. There must have been a reason. Whatever it was, there must have been a good reason. If I can't think of it, it doesn't matter. That's over with. Let me move on.
Could have been a valid reason. Right. You just forgot about it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
God. Good stuff, man. What's your advice from Breath the Surfer to the Bachelors of America? Floor is yours.
Man, just keep your head up and stay positive, man, and never lose sight of your goals, and write your goals down and put them in front of you, man, and whatever you want to do. I mean, if you want to stay single, if that's your objective and that's what you want to do, then live that life, man. Live what makes you, you know, happy, you know. And do it. Whatever you're going to do, do it. Don't talk about it. Just, it's action. It's all about action. And, you know, you've got to take that first step, you know. Of course, it's going to be a little scary the first time you were learning to swim. You know, you didn't want to get in that water. But take the first step no matter what it is, you know. If you want to live outside of the country, take that step, man, do it. You know, if you're like I've talked to guys that are like, oh, I just can't meet women. And I'm like, well, have you ever tried going to maybe Costa Rica or Brazil maybe, or Mexico, you know, or, you know, some of them are like, oh, no. And they might meet someone who, you know, I don't know, but that might be the diamond in the rough, you know. So, you know, take that risk.
Absolutely.
You know, without it, you know, just like when you're working out, no pain, no gain. And there's going to be pain, man. If you want a big return on whatever it is, you know, there's going to be pain at first, you know. Like, you know, so don't be afraid, you know. Face that fear and it'll dissipate, you know, and I know it's old adage, but, you know, it's so true. And, you know, the world is your oyster, man. You have to, what do you want? What do you want to do? You know, go out and do it. And you know, that's the most important advice I can tell someone, and take it easy. Don't overanalyze things. Enjoy life, and, a surfer's attitude is more like laid back and, you know, hey, you want to be pissed off and angry, hey, that's fine. You're not affecting me at all, friend. You know, so, and you run into those toxic people. And those type of people, you take the high road, man. Pick your battles, right?
That's right.
So that's my advice, Vaughn.
I like it. Words of wisdom from Brett the Surfer. Thank you, Brett. Hang on, man. We might get you on in the latter part of the show, brother. Have fun out there,
man.
Surf's up. Great call.
All right, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you then, man.
You know it. Yeah, words of wisdom from the surfer philosophy of life. It's very good. And, it kind of reminds me of this song called St. Tropez. Oh, yeah, I dig that. Love that. Well, if you're a man of the world, would you out there with your lady friend? You want to smell good? You want to look good? You want to work out? You want some numero uno?
Wow.
Numero uno.
Four men on a search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold. Numero uno green. Numero uno red. Numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes. All different. All wild. Find yours with the searcher kit. A jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno.
You damn right. And radio back in the day sounded a little bit like this in the retro California past.
Los Angeles weather.
Low overcast tonight, low around 58, mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 68. No smog, beaches now 62, valley 66, downtown 65, Orange County 66.
Don't dare stare at the illustrated man.
Oh, yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Movie Insiders.
They're here.
Well, we got some more fun with that, but we just had some really good, awesome promos here for the show. Getting back to the show premise, though, as a bachelor, you're the master of your own domain. Now, it's kind of hilarious. Women only ask for their liberation after men conquer the primitive and dangerous natural world. Before that event took place, men and women had a relationship based on mutual benefit and pleasure. Now, according to feminists, that was all called male patriarchy. It's like clinging to the lion tamer when you're in the cage with the lion and then claiming he was groping you once you are safely out of the octagon. We've had first, second, third wave feminism swept over America. It's creeped into corporate America. I don't care if you make burgers at Jack in the Box or you work in a retail store, a warehouse, an office, cubicle trench warfare, as I came up. So all these women plotting and scheming in the workplace to get you in trouble, get you in front of the man, get you to walk on the carpet, to get you fired. Be aware of that. They're out there. And the more this goes on in our society, more and more men are looking outside the country. It's called expat lifestyle or MGTOW. Men going their own way, which is a very good thing. Men should go their own way, by the way. This template of marriage, it works for some, doesn't work for everybody, or at least not right now. You got the vast majority, 52% of American marriages end in divorce. Most end them before 10 years. You drive around town, there's billboard after billboard of all these sleazebag divorce attorneys. Now, some might be great guys. My point in calling them the sleazebags is because our society pushes you into marriage. They pressure you, coerce you. It could be religious grounds, moral grounds, your family. But then when it goes south on you, nobody seems to care. The divorce attorney is there to take half your estate, whatever it is, plus interest. I know guys that have cut big fat checks just to get out of a bad marriage. A friend of mine paid a law firm $75,000 to get out, to get away, to buy his freedom out of a bad marriage. It could be for a host of reasons. Women are very fickle today. You're hinging your financial life, your future life, on a woman who is self-admittedly emotional, easily distraught, easily upset, easily prone to illness and medication, easily prone to anger, easily prone to backbiting or giving you a honey-do list just to make her happy. And I know you guys, you do it just to make her happy, because half the stuff on that list could wait 6 months in most cases, or at least a month. But no, it's going to be done right away, right? After all that, you hinge your legal relationship with a woman, and all it takes is for her to sit on the couch one day, her arms are folded, you come home from a long day of work, and she tells you she's not happy with their relationship and where you're going and what you're doing and how she subjectively feels about it. And by the way, she also wants you to buy her $5,000 in new furniture to make her happy again. She wants you to buy her a new car to show off to her girlfriends, and she wants a bigger allowance. She wants to go out to lunch more with her friends. On your credit card, she wants you to pay the bills. And if you don't do all that, she and society will look at you and they will say, you're a loser. You're a loser. You're not stepping up to the plate. You're not doing your job. You're not doing your manly duties. So screw you. That's how a lot of women seem to think. And you guys put up with it. So it blows me away. I have guys that write me every week. They go, I love your Thursday show, but I want to listen to The Bachelor show. I go, okay. If I get more emails like that, we'll do it every week. But I want to hear from you guys. Don't be a silent, stealth listener that never tells the show what you think. If you like the show, say so. You don't have to call if you're shy. I get it. Email me, VonWeekendShow@gmail.com. Text the show. Write in blog talk. It'll get to me. Find me all over the internet. If you can't find me, then I'm not the problem. You're the problem, and you're not looking hard enough. How about those apples? Put it back in your court where the ball belongs. So I get you guys, after all that, all the investment of time, effort, money. Some of you guys don't choose very well to begin with. That's a whole different can of worms. But the ones that are stuck in that, I hear you. But until you either rectify things, which by the time it gets to that level, things are not salvageable in most cases. Just not salvageable. You'll be relegated to the dirtiest part of the house. On top of that, the house is for the queen bee, and you are the drone male, the drone bee. And you'll be relegated to the garage, which is always a very dirty part of the house, or the backyard, to the dirty part of the house with all the dirt, insects, sun hitting your face. Now, you might have a lovely backyard, but most people don't. I'll put it to you that way. You may love your backyard. Great. You may be living there. Put your hammock out. Your little tiki bar. Have your radio or internet ready to hear my show. You're going to need it. We're a support mechanism for you guys. We're the only ones you've got. You don't have anything else. Society is at war with you. Have you seen the signs? It's a war against men. The women are at war with you. The government daily says they're at war with you. To the government, all the bachelor men in America are all domestic terrorists. It's amazing what's going on out there. Corporate America hates you because you're heterosexual, probably a Christian. How dare you? They say you're not gay or you're not transitioning. You're not a minority in most cases. And if you were any of those, they would applaud you. How wonderful you are. How brave you are. How courageous you are. How in touch with your feelings you are. You get the picture? Yeah. I talk about what nobody else will dare talk about on the radio or the media. They're afraid. Afraid of upsetting the program director or losing their sponsors. You don't want to live like that. Don't live like that. Don't be that guy. We just heard from Brett the Surfer. And we'll get to some more calls here in a minute, but you want to have a good life, not a bad life. Think positive. It's my tip of the day.
I'm going to be poor because I don't ever want to be poor.
Then you won't.
I decided right then and there I wasn't going to live like that. I needed to get as far away as possible. I moved to California in the summer of 1968 with the tuna. We had $300 and a black TR-3. There sure was nothing like this back home. It was paradise. We got a small one-bedroom apartment right on the beach. Wasn't much, but it had its perks.
George.
You need some help?
California was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Hey, what's the deal?
People were liberated, independent, full of new ideas. They used words like right on, groovy, solid. The women were beautiful. And they all seemed to share the same occupation.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
Yeah, on the airplane.
Just love that. We'll get a cocktail, get a drink. When we come back, we've got a few calls here. I see Irish Pirates called in, a few others. We'll get to those calls, and I shall return.
Almost got another man. Yes, he's the one. Oh, yes, he's the one. He's the one, he's the one. The one they call the seventh son. And he can talk these words that'll sound so sweet, even make your little heart skip a beat. He can heal the sick or infect, make the little girl talk out of their head. He's the one. He's the one, he's the one, the one they call the seventh son.
That's right. Well, we're the good time, Charlie, and Charlie's Angels, baby. The Bachelor in America is part playboy, part warrior, part traveler, part James Bond, part Matt Helm, part in like Flint, part chameleon, and part John Wayne. The Bachelor playboy loves gadgets and cool things, cool cars and cool clothes, cool watches, and a great travel vacation. He has many edges and facets, like that of a sparkling diamond. Cool to some, others think he is a bastard and cold. Some women think he is the bad boy that they crave. Yes, that's why you need to read The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. And with that, let's get to the Irish Pirate, our tech wizard. Hello, Mr. Pirate. How are you doing tonight?
I'm kicking, Von Weehunt. It's one of those interesting evenings.
Nice.
I get a chance to call in. It's going to be an interesting night because I'm on a bug out. I'm actually packing. I'm going to disappear for a little while. And it's going to be interesting.
Really? Where are you going?
Very north.
What's her name?
Cacao Kelly is going with me, actually.
Nice.
I am the second driver, if not the first. So it's going to be
I knew she was the one.
And she came up with
I knew she was the one
the
for you.
She came up with the idea, took a week off of work, and then she's been trying to get some stuff done, and the car broke down while she was trying to get it fixed and a few other things, and all of a sudden she said, hey, you're done doing your chess teaching on Tuesday. Take the rest of the week off. And I said, I've made no plan
right.
whatsoever for that. And so I looked into it. I told her I'm going to check my horizon, see what's out there. Found a couple of things that need to be moved or canceled. And then I said, okay, now if where I work at can put up with me leaving immediately for a week, we'll do it. And so they came back and they said,
right.
Ron, you got it. And I'm going like, wow, that's amazing. And it took about 3 hours for them to cover me. And it's not like I work tonight or tomorrow night, but, you know, but still, it was going to be four nights in the next seven. So they didn't just have somebody ready to go for that. And so they came up with a solution. But, well, they actually wanted to beat that into a couple of people anyway. And this is a good time of year to actually do that type of thing for that type of work that I do, which is security related. Summer is when most people, there's a lot of overtime available. Nobody wants to work it. Nowadays, there's not that much overtime available, and the weather's nice and that type of thing. You can do a lot of things, and lots of people are willing to do it, but there's no overtime. Because lots of other people do, you know, stick around and do their own job. So I knew that it was a good time for me to cut out. It's a good time to bug out. It's a good time to investigate. And yeah, if everything goes really well, I might even come back and we might even acquire some land up there. I mean, who knows? Come back, do the right thing at the right time for the right reason. In other words, every day. As a matter of fact, I think it was a quality text I got from Cal Kelly. She said, every day for me is living the end times. I'm not trying to live the good times anymore. They keep messing this up so bad that I'm just looking to get rid of these, you know, ridiculous, you know, unimportant things. And so, yeah. It's what you do when you're reacting. It's what you do when the world, like you said, is it war with the Bachelor? Is it war with the American Male? Yeah, one of the things that listening to your rant that I caught onto directly, and I'll bring this up, I did pay my child support. I did the good thing. I got rung up on it, and I fought through it, and then one day I came in with a check. And one of the most amazing things, I almost wish, you know, I mean, if somebody would contact you to contact me or whatever, if they don't believe what I'm saying, I dare you to look at the so-called emancipation that you get when you're done paying off your child support. You would think, you know, some sort of congratulations, you stuck it through a contract or you've done the honorable thing or whatever. No,
you don't get a plaque or a gold kitty or a gold watch. Thank you so much for paying that for 20 years.
Yeah, forget that. You don't even get the honor of knowing that you've completed a contract. They come back and they say, basically, we're not going to take any more money away from you right now. We're satisfied with what you paid. And if we come up with anything else, we'll let you know. And it's like, so you're never really off the hook. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like contracts. I mean, the whole idea that you show up for example, something like child support or a traffic ticket or something, the whole idea of who you are for showing up bothers me. And I'm not that person. I don't expect to be that person. One time when I was living in California, I came up from another state and I still had that state on my license plate of my car. So I quickly got hit on a red light and, I took that ridiculous traffic citation to court and I got the guy to admit he was sitting on a motorcycle and could see through a semi for my low profile car on the other side as to what I was doing or not. I got him to admit that in court.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this guy must have eyes like Superman. He admits that he was there, and he admits that that truck was in the way, and he still saw me do what he says that I did. And the judge says, I still agree with him. Screw you. It's like, okay, I said my piece, and I see how this is going to work. And that was just me learning how the world works. I was in my 30s at the time, early 30s, maybe late 20s. And so that opened the door for me. And then paying off the child support was hilarious. I paid off my student loan. That was even more amazing. I called them up, and I said, I'd like to pay money on an account, because I didn't tell them it was mine or anything like that. I just, you know, I'm saying, look, I'm here to do some business. And they said, well, you'll need to get online. I said, we're not doing the online thing. I'm paying money on an account.
Right.
You manage accounts. That's supposedly your job. Now, we know you guys all get rung up all the time. People take you to small claims court and other things because of what you do to people. And you're giving away chunks of $1,000 awards to people who are absolutely getting roughed up by your you know, handing over the contract to the next guy, and then they just beat them up, and it goes on and on and on. And for whatever reason, they get off on this. And I called them up, and I said, look, whatever the bill is, I'm going to pay it. So I want this account. I want you to put the money that I'm going to offer onto this account. Let me ask you a stupid question, sir. Do you know what a receipt is? Can you get me a receipt if I just mail you a check? You know, you and your big company. And the guy says, he says literally to my face on the phone, I don't know. You don't know if you can write a receipt.
Seriously. God.
You're just expecting to hound these people and do everything
you don't
AI
even know
for the rest of my rest of this student's life. You got to be kidding me. That's not the way the world's going to work for the average American, or at least not one that actually knows how to actually go out and not have Joe Biden pay their student loan.
Right.
Right, which he's only going to do partly anyway. And it's really a rebate on what you already rung up for something you shouldn't have gotten a degree in. But anyway, I've got my degree. I'm your tech wizard. I know what I got for it. And I'm still looking for someone with a bachelor's degree, basically in sound engineering, and of science. Haven't found it. I've been looking now for, I don't know. I figured there'd be a baker's dozen of them by now. I haven't found one. I keep finding these guys. They get an of arts, and then they buy a $60,000 program, and then they call themselves a scientist. And I have to laugh at them. I say, no, not only are you a bad scientist, you're a bad operator. You suck. You should not be bragging about something you know nothing about. I can use free stuff and do better than what you got, especially since you have to get high to do it. But anyway, so the problem we have is that we're dealing with a lot of people who are not professional. They really think that they're allowed to take advantage of the position they're in society, which is basically Malthusianism, right? Malthus basically was the one that told the Greeks, we're going to have increased technology, and a lot of us are going to move forward with that technology. It's going to leave some people behind that either didn't assimilate, couldn't assimilate, or otherwise are just kind of street bound. We'll kill them off and go get some more technology. And that was his attitude.
Yeah.
And the academia bought into this crap. And so, again, to the bachelor, I say, wow, are you one of the ones that they think you don't know how to assimilate to their technology? You're the ones that are not getting a cell phone so you can be tracked. You're the one that actually has to put yourself into a contract and leave yourself indebted just to have a car to run around in, because they expect to have the massive quantities of computers and stuff like that on the car, which I don't mind. But they're expecting you to go into debt for it. And then they can't supply the stupid computer chips. It's really hilarious. But anyway.
I know.
The American man is not going to put up with these expectations, has never put up with these expectations. The good old days were when you had a 57 Chevy and you could fix it yourself, even though I was not even born during that time. But I know my dad used to just absolutely be proud of the fact that he could fix anything that went on around. Of course, he bought a brand new 73 pickup and everything that went wrong about it. Luckily, when he bought it, the dealer bought one at the same time and everything went wrong at the same time, so they could fix stuff together simultaneously, would probably be a better word. And so I hate to say it, but the days were better when you were allowed to have your own domain and do your own thing and decide where and when you're going to move in. It's not like the typical bachelor wants to be free from everything. He doesn't want to be free from women, free from technology. You know, some of them, unfortunately, don't even want to be free from drugs, which I find sad, but they're allowed to do what they're going to dip their feet into. Yeah, me personally, I like women. I can't get into most of the other stuff that many bachelors think that they need to do. And I see a lot of it. I see a lot of video games that are first-person shooter, and there's no way to win the game and walk away from it. All the games I play, and I'm a gamer, man. I love my games, but I can walk away from all of them. I mean, there is something I can leave behind and get back to it. That's what I expect. And there's no way to do that
with
the responsibilities of what's expected to the typical American bachelor. And that's sad. You'll never walk away from this. And I just find that fascinating. I have no interest, actually, in being tied down to somebody else's contract anymore. I've been trying to get out of as many contracts as possible. I've even made that suggestion to other when I find young kids that say, I don't know what I want to do with them. How about get out of all your contracts right now while they're still young?
Just I like that. Get out of those credit card contracts, guys. Pay off that debt right now while you got a job to do it.
Well,
be debt free by January 1st. Everyone, Irish, I'm telling everyone, except for your car debt, try to be debt free with zero credit card balances the latest by spring. Try to get there by January 1st. Start the new year off right.
No doubt about it.
No debt.
Yeah, 100%, 100% concurrence there, Von Weehunt. You got to get out of these bad usury contracts. I think it's a good term for it. And they are there to try and hold you down. They're there to try and keep you out of what is good. And imagine this. Can you imagine the look on a woman's face when you come to pick her up in your ride, and she could tell there's something a bit different about it? It may be a little old, it may be a little worn, but you know, everything is supposed to be there is there. You know what I mean? It's got the little accessories.
And it's paid for.
That, someone who can actually
afford it. It's paid for, man.
That's when she learns the hard way. That she learns the hard way. It's paid for. And you're liking the fact that now I've got the freedom. I mean, I started this phone call. Like, you know, my woman came to me and said, look, everything else is falling apart. I wanted to be able to make the trip I was going to make in more time. I don't have the time now. Everything broke down. Things didn't go my way. I dropped what I was doing and say, I'm okay, good. I'm going to give you the week. Let's go. I'm your second driver. Let's go. Let's do it.
Nice.
I just don't know anybody who can do that with their lives. They're so indebted. They're so, you know, got it. She honestly told me. I didn't think you'd say yes. She told me that. I didn't think you'd say yes.
They can't afford to leave.
Said, well,
they can't afford to go.
Well, I'm not saying a week's worth of work it is not going to give me a hit, but I will say this. I can afford that because I think I know what I'm going to get for it. I know where I don't remember the last time I was up in that area of the United States. And I think that I can appreciate what's left of the American community. I'm going to be wearing a lot of things like InfoWars shirts, I'm going to be speaking the language of someone who is free, and they're going to say, are people really like that in the Phoenix area? And the answer is, you don't want to go down there. I think we're all carrying. It might be scary for you.
Yes.
It might be scary from some redneck from out here. So
watch
here.
Exactly. Love that, man.
I want to disassociate people from coming down to an area that, you know, just like anywhere else. I mean, does Phoenix really need more growth right now? You just drive down the freeway down here, and you can tell they're not maintaining them, but they're building.
We're
them.
Good.
They're still building the 24 to 30.
I know. They keep building. We're going to be like Dallas. The Phoenix area is the Dallas of the Southwest. And like the Dallas area, they call it the Metroplex. The Phoenix Scottsdale corridor is the ever expanding pie. It's going to keep growing like the DFW area forever. I'm always amazed when I drive up I-17, you know, the new developments, new houses, new malls, new restaurants already filled up, parking lots full. Amazing. So this area is going to continue because it's going to happen.
And they're building more out by where the 303 connects to it at the north end. That's a new one. They're working on something out there. That, I mean, they're certainly not making homes. Those things are
well. That's the chip plant.
I don't know what they're doing.
The 303 is the chip plant from Taiwan. That's what it is.
Oh wow!
I'm telling you, it's the Taiwan semiconductor massive plant.
Well.
They're moving operations here because Taiwan's about to get invaded. And if you're a bachelor, they want you to fight. I mean, whole world's about to explode. The bachelor needs to surf the wave like Breath the Surfer, you know?
I'm willing to fight to not fight over there. I'm willing to avoid that place like the plague. I believe that many
let them fight their own battles.
Yeah, I believe many of these wars now are just they want us to be perpetually involved in hate, and I don't even hate my enemy. I like to make fun of them. I like to laugh at their pathetic state. I really do. I don't spend a whole lot of time saying, boy, why are these guys so evil? I'm saying, like, these guys are so evil, I bet I could trip him over his own lips. I literally think I could take his hardened heart and make him beat himself in the head with it till it looks like Tua Tagovailoa had a second seizure. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those
Love
things.
That.
But I can tell you this. We are going to be a minority here. There's going to be a lot of people dying. There's going to be a lot of people sick. And some of the people who, like, took the shots or made those mistakes, they're going to be your best friend, and they say, hey, I screwed up. I trusted this government. I trusted the banks. I trusted the guy I was working for. You know, and they told me I was going to need shots. And now they realize that was all bad. Only 1% of America is now taking shots. Many people are battening down the hatches for the bad economic situation that's coming up, and nobody's interested in Ukraine anymore. And so the interesting part is, what's left? Yeah, what's left? And the answer is they're going to take as much money as they can and cart it out of here so we have less to trade with. That's what all this is all about. They're taking all the munitions and leaving with them so you can't buy them. I mean, the days where somebody could have rented a bunker like in South Dakota and tried to get away from it all, which, by the way, would not work. And you don't actually own the place. It's a 99-year lease. I read that in the contracts. So I said no. I thought it was really cute, only 400 miles from where I went to high school. But no. Not going to do that because you're hanging me again with your contract. You're not going to make me dedicate myself to something I cannot own. That's not going to work.
Right.
So, you know, even when it's patriotic.
Smart man.
Little things attached.
And I don't like it. So, anyway, long story short, what do? You got to keep your head up. I recommend very highly for all the men out there that realize that the contracts are going to get nastier and nastier. I think you should take a speed reading course. I really do. You're going to have to find out what it is they want from you.
Yes.
Learn the information and show them what's wrong. I mean, when I first came here, you're going to love this.
Yeah, right.
When I was recruited by a chess company, and they handed me the contract. And they said, look it over for a day and bring it back. So I brought it back, and they said, what did you do to the contract? And I had a bunch of lines in it with my initials on it. I said, I struck out the parts I didn't like. And they said, what? You can't strike our contract. I said, okay, well, look at it.
That's what I did. Do. Take out your red pen and said, take out the parts you don't like. Damn right.
Well, and they responded.
Everything is negotiable.
We have to make sure. They tried to say, well, if we give this we can't have everybody on special contracts. I said, well, you have a problem. I've already been teaching chess for, you know, roughly 20 years before I got here, 10 professionally for sure. I'm the best guy there was in Southern California doing that. And I'm coming here with a reputation that you're not honoring with this stupid contract. We're going to have to talk. And so what happened was, now they already had a guy, an international master, to quote-unquote train me. He was going to get 2%. And he's starting to freak out because it looks like I'm not going to get my contract signed. As he told the boss, he said, hey, this is the easiest 2% I'm ever going to make. It could be the biggest, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so what? And so that's when, you want to know how to be a friend? He stepped up for me, and he said, look at this thing that he slashed out. You'll want him to pay a $250 deposit to work for you. You know, I found that in the contract. I said, $250.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have $250.
Right.
You can't squeeze blood out of a rock. And he said, look, you want him to pay this deposit?
Oh, they'll try, though. They'll always try. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so he said, I'll tell you what. You want a deposit and everybody else has to? He says, I'll pay the deposit. I get the 2%. He goes, well, you'll get the money back at the end of semester. Right? He said, yeah, I get that. And he goes, yeah, you'll get that.
Right.
He says, well, then I'll pay it because I'm going to get that plus the 2% at the end of the semester. He says, it's a lock. I'll take it. Good money. And the boss just freaked out. He freaked out. He's like, you're willing to give up $250 so I can hire this guy. And he said, absolutely. Especially if I get to train him. If I get the 2%, I'm in. And so that was a friendship. It still exists to this day. He's a poker player in Las Vegas. I call him every once in a while. We have a good time talking about
like
it.
That.
He's now because poker is more lucrative than
Mr. Vegas himself.
I mean, he's got his own house, he's got his own car. Yeah, he's totally set up through poker. And, yeah, what am I going to do? Tell him he's nuts? Yeah, he's a,
no.
a computer at times.
He but could be connected, man, if you know what I mean. He could be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Irish, have a great trip up north, amigo. Have a great, safe trip. I want to hear about it when you get back. Chime in when you can.
Stories on this one. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely want to hear about those, man.
But
you are the show's field representative in northern Arizona.
I'm in the field. I'm in the field.
You're the field rep.
I can feel it.
For the Von Wien Show. If you meet anybody up there in a bunker or ex-CIA that I can interview, let me know. All right?
I will.
Awesome, man. Have a great night. Have a great trip up north. We will catch you soon, amigo. Irish Fire, folks.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Irish. Great call. Great call from the Pyroman. Going up north, doing his thing. He's going to buy some acreage with his little lady. Maybe build a house or a cabin. Sounds a little bit like this.
Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get a lazy smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
That'll be the life of our tech wizard, Irish pirate, Inky Cal Kelly, up there in the northern tundra of Arizona. And we'll get to some more calls here in a second. I think you're calling us back from the studio board. This is great. Look, there's all kinds of lifestyles, all kinds of realities out there for the bachelor, the man about town, his female consort by his side. Maybe you're in a bar. Maybe you're in a lounge. Maybe you're in a ranch or country setting. Maybe you're in the city. Maybe it sounds a little bit like this.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated cheese. Take it off. Take it all off. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
How close do you
Yes, well, for Irish Pirate and his lovely female consort, when they're driving up there in northern Arizona in the hinterlands of the country, as I call it, flyover country, you might meet some aliens or see a UFO. And if you do out there in no man's land, it may sound like this.
We come from way out past Alpha Centauri, and as we're here on planet Earth observing your ways, we're listening to the Von Wien Show. It's on the Internet Radio Galaxy.
Yes, it is. Let's get to Kelly. She's calling in.
Yeah, Kelly.
Is this Miss Kelly?
Here.
How are you doing? Did you enjoy the Green Acres song? That's for you and Ryan and the Irish Pirate.
Well, it would be actually more
I couldn't resist.
I'm the country girl. He's actually the city boy.
Nice. Mixed roles there, right? Love it. Love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's have a great road trip. I want to hear about it when you guys get back. Take down lots of notes, shake a bunch of hands, and spread the good news to people. Say, have you heard of the Von Wiegand show? Just tell them about it.
We're going to Patreon.
And tell them
to
get names and numbers. I'll call them from the show.
Oh,
we'll get
wow.
them on the air. Yes.
Well, I'm going to Patreon.
We'll call them from the studio.
That sounds great. That sounds totally great. So
would be awesome.
We have about a 20-hour drive ahead of us. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a long one.
Almost going up to Canada.
Are you driving to Canada? Yeah, I was about to say,
almost,
are you guys going to Trudeau country? Montana, Idaho? Beautiful country up there. I need to get back
not
up
quite,
there. Need to
close.
Go. Yep.
Wow.
Well, you got Washington, you got Wyoming, North Dakota. It's all good.
North Idaho.
All good.
North Idaho, baby. We're going to Patriot Land.
Nice. Nice.
They have one of the largest Patriot groups for any state out there, actually. So.
God, it's great.
Anyways. But it's going to be very, very
exciting.
You'll
have a lot to tell us.
I do. So very excited that Irish Pirate is going with me, though. So
hell yeah, as he should.
Yeah, well,
he needs a vacation. I've been working him too hard. He needs a vacation. But when he gets back, we need two fun packs. Two. Tell him that.
Fun fact, that's good fact. Well, I'm sorry, but he considers working for you kind of like his own entertainment there, you know?
I know.
That's a,
it
that's
is entertaining.
Too much fun for him.
I know. He's very good at what he does, and I love his product. It's great stuff.
I know.
And we agree on a lot of the stuff he's doing. I mean, I get his mindset on things. I go, I concur with that. Let's just do it. Make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Great trip. So. And take some good pictures.
Ooh.
Meet lots of interesting people.
Yeah. Well, there's interesting people out there no matter where you go.
I know. I know.
Wow.
Your field report in Patriot Land, that'd be great for a Thursday night show, you know?
Right. Yeah, that would be. Definitely would
be.
We'll
awesome.
Have to, you know, head up to further north than where we're going to be and see if we can't. We don't have a camera and a mic, Irish Pirate.
Oh, you need a microphone, tape recorder, camera.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know. We should do our own show up while we're up there.
Right. Tape record it. Right now, the show, we're in the process of making some T-shirts and stickers. Those aren't ready yet, but they will be. So we'll load you up later on with that to give out to people.
Oh,
you know?
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Do I get your face
lots of fun.
Plastered across my chest or something? Did you hear that?
However we get the word out, you know? We'll do whatever it takes. We'll climb any mountain, cross any valley. We'll traverse the nation.
Oh, going up.
We'll make it happen.
Going up a lot of mountains.
That's right. That's right. Well, good to hear your voice, Kelly.
Oh, my
And have a great trip. Have a great road trip. Enjoy it. Relax. It should be Rancho Relaxo every day of the trip. And a blast.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm sure it will be. My work threw me out. They said you have to have consecutively 7 days off from work. It's called mandatory time away. Did you believe that?
Love that. You have to go. It's company policy. You have to go.
Well,
or all the fish will die. So cool.
And I'm thinking, well, I wish we were more like our Canadian partners. They get 2 weeks of mandatory time away. I could go for that.
I've always said I think we should have 30 days off paid vacation a year for Americans, 30 days off, a month off a year. Americans need a month off a year just to recuperate from all the crap that they throw at us. 1 week and two, though nice, is not enough. It's not enough. We need a month off. You work 11 months, really 10, but I would say you, at the very minimum, work 11 months, you get 1 month off. That's how it should be.
Europeans get 2 months paid off. I mean,
who
some
does?
Of them get three. Europeans.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not fair.
Yeah, I like that.
That's so not fair.
I've always said Americans are overworked. And we are not overpaid.
Yes.
And we are overstressed.
And we're burnt out.
And we're burnt out. And we're tired of all the crap that's being thrown at us. So that's why Americans need, you really need a month minimum off a year, plus the weekends, just to keep your mental sanity going.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 months or three would be optimum. It's more of a work-life balance, you know?
It is.
That's what I say.
Exactly.
Need that balance in life. Kelly, have a great night.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you soon. You know, baby. Thanks for
calling
the show.
Hey,
thank you, Kelly.
Thing. All right. I was going to say
what?
that strip song you played earlier.
Yeah,
well,
you like
that's
that.
That's for the bedroom, baby. That's for the bedroom.
Yes. Here, here. That's why I played it.
I danced to that song for Irish Pirate.
Nice. As you should. That's that classic stripper song.
If I gave away the big secrets, I mean, they would know about the pole dancing I do for you.
Right.
Yes. Pole dancing is very mucho importante. As they say in Mexico, mucho importante, señorita.
That or the belly dancing, you know? Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
love it.
Belly dancing.
God. You'll have a great time, I know. Awesome.
Oh,
well,
okay.
You will make some special memories with Mr. Pirate up there. That's a good time.
Yeah, we will. But if there's any women out there, you know, listening tonight, make your man feel special. You know, give him a lap dance or do something sexy for him, and he'll appreciate it.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will love you a long time, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon, baby.
Okay.
Have a great trip.
Thursday. You too.
You know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know it, Kelly. Thank you. Bye-bye. Awesome. God. Good times for Irish Pirate and Kelly, of course. Well, are you a big spender? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a bachelor on the make. Whatever you're making, remember, guys, fake it till you make it.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. I figured that you're the Muriel, the God-smoking kind, so let me get right to the point.
You're right in style when you're in Muriel's company. Hey, Big Spender, spend a little time with me. Hey, Big Spender, spend a little time with me. Join the Muriel Miles crowd. Pick one up and smoke it sometime.
God, it's great. Well, back in the day, those great 1960s biker flicks sound a little bit like this.
The female bunch.
They live free.
Taking what they want.
From all walks of life.
You're hurting me, Marty.
They swore never again to let a man hurt them. The female bunch.
They tease men. They torture them. They love them.
We don't give a damn about society's rules. We have our own laws here. Break one of their laws, you won't live to regret it.
Russ Tamblyn, Lon Chaney Jr., Jennifer Bishop in the female bunch.
They're coming soon.
That's right. We were out there in the life doing our thing. We want to have a good time. We want to get away from the man. We want more freedom and liberty. We don't want all these rules by government, family, society. Reasonable things that we do are good for a law and order in our society, but, well, sometimes we get frustrated with the powers that be. Sounds a little bit like this from back in the day.
Yeah, we don't want nobody telling us what to do. We don't want nobody pushing us around.
I apologize, but tell me, just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
You gotta fight for your right to party, America. Never forget that.
They're wild and no angels. Their very name spreads terror. Their credo is violence. Their god, hate. And they call themselves the Wild Angels. These are today's real rebels, with a chip on their shoulder, a monkey on their back, and a hate for the world in their guts. Blue. Leader of a wolf pack on wheels. Mike, too much in love to care what she does or with whom. Joint, the fuzz hater. Show him a badge and he sees red. Bull, swinging a cycle chain and lusting for action. American International presents Peter Fonda and Nancy Sinatra in The Wild Angels. In Panavision and color with members of the Venice chapter of The Hell's Angels. The Wild Angels is the most terrifying film of our time.
That's right. Now, a lot of you guys are in the show, and as a Bachelor in America, Bachelor on the Make, you've heard some interesting callers tonight. Always pretty lively here in the studio. A lot of you guys have asked me on real estate, and should I buy, should I rent? Well, here's the fact. The average rent in America right now is $2,000 every 30 days. You got to cough up $2,000 every 30 days. It's a lot of cash. You'll have to work probably two jobs to pay that. And after you pay the bills for the apartment, your cable, your cell phone, the water, the power, you'll need $3,000 net a month, maybe $4,000 net just to eat, put gas in the car, have at least $100 walking around money a week for entertainment, things of that nature. In other words, it's taking more and more cash to live. It's the Biden inflation. A lot of you guys are from all over the country. Some guys are international listening in tonight. But you want to know you should buy or rent. This is what I tell you. Take stock in yourself. What is your housing situation? If you're living with family, you might be better off just staying where you're at than trying to move, because moving is going to be extremely expensive. So the houses in America, I don't believe in a big housing crash. The rates will go up. They're trying to squeeze the market like a boa constrictor. And the houses in the middle of the country are a lot cheaper than they are on the West Coast or the East Coast. Phoenix, Scottsdale, where I'm at in Arizona, average home price right now is about $500,000. For a three-bedroom, two-bath. In a decent neighborhood with a moderately sized yard. Clean neighborhood. You might get one for $450,000. These prices are not going to crash down to $100,000 a house. Sincerely doubt it. Now, if you move to the middle part of the country, you can go on Zillow.com like I do. I have some realtor friends in the country. Houses in Oklahoma, Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, northern Arkansas, Iowa, Indiana, to name several states. Southern Illinois, parts of South Dakota, North Dakota, parts of Kentucky, Tennessee, or the Deep South, those states in the vast Midwest is where you're going to find really, really good housing prices. If you want to mountain bike out west, you want to live around the mountains, we're very hot right now, we're very popular. Every young guy wants to move out west. Don't blame you. Great, great lifestyle out west. I love it out here. I grew up out west, California. Now live in Arizona. My East Coast friends, very expensive out there on the East Coast. Even Virginia, it's extremely expensive. Anything near D.C. is expensive. But if you go to flyover country, you can pick it, you can still buy a house there for $120,000, $130,000, $150,000, or cheaper all day long. Some towns that you could live in. I used to work in a town called St. Joseph, Missouri. Homes there are $75,000 to $150,000 all day long. It's a nice little town. You're an hour away from Kansas City. Just one idea for you. There's many, many more I've got. Ozarks in Missouri is another very good place. You've got Oklahoma. You've got the I've driven through Tulsa. Oklahoma City, nice people there, great housing, very affordable, temperate weather, relatively low crime, though they're getting more of it, safer northern Arkansas, I've driven through there before, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, very underrated city, cheap. Got Lincoln, Nebraska, cheap. Omaha, Nebraska, cheap. Kansas City, affordable. Indiana, affordable. Parts of Kentucky. Now you got all that middle part of the country. Very cheap real estate. Now you won't make a lot of money out there either in equity because there is not the demand of people who want to move out there. But if you're looking for a cheap way to live, you can buy land and build a house, excuse me, or you can buy a home in the middle part of the country. That's what I recommend. I told you guys, my last name isn't Trump. Yours isn't either. So we weren't given $1 million to go do anything. We did not inherit a lot of money or any money. I made it all on my own. My timing was great. I came back out west 30 years ago when they were giving the West away, literally giving Arizona away. When I came here in 93, 95, homes here were 80,000 to about 150 tops for a nice three bedroom, two bath. I had friends of mine that bought homes here for 88 grand, 90 grand. Those homes today are worth 450. So that run up in equity will never happen again. It may go up another 100 grand or two, depending on the economy, but that big, big run up from 80 grand to 450 will never happen again. Because once houses reach that saturation level, there's a lot of people beneath that price supporting it. And they've moved, for example, to where I'm at in Arizona. So if you're coming in now, you're a young guy, 21, 30, just starting out. Maybe you're 35 or 40. Unless you're coming here with 100,000 in cash to put down, you're probably not going to be able to afford it unless you had a great job in IT or something. Or you can work two jobs, or your wife makes a lot of money, or girlfriend. So the real estate in the valley here has gone through the roof, and we've priced out a lot of guys that wanted to move here. And I told them, you lost the birth rate lottery. In other words, you were born too late. You woke up too late. Some guys are 40 and said, I'm kicking myself for not moving out there when you did the Von Wee Hunt. Tell them, well, that's why I did it. I'm a visionary. I saw it coming. I knew the West would explode in value, explode in equity. Now, there will be dips and valleys in real estate. Some people predict a big crash. I predict a big correction, but not a crash. We're going to get clipped. The whole country is going to get clipped even more. But buying an affordable home is normally your first step for wealth preservation, build up your life. You got a place to move in, your girlfriend or wife, raise your family, or just stay a bachelor. It's all good. Just stay there. Get two dogs. Have a girlfriend, live life. Having a place to live is crucial. A lot of you guys are living in very expensive cities. I know this because you call me from Seattle, LA, Miami, Dallas, Chicago, San Diego. Can't afford it. You're barely making it month to month, paycheck to paycheck, and no one's going to pay you more. Every time you get a bump in pay, inflation goes up 10 or 20% more. Can't keep up. That's the game. It's the game you're in. So I'm telling you, start looking at that middle part of the country. I know it's not as glamorous as maybe where you're currently living. There may not be as many things to do, but you'll find things to do. There's farmers markets out there. There's a lot of good-looking girls in the Midwest. A lot of different things to do. May not be hip and trendy to what you're used to, but when you drive up to your big home on 1 or 2 acres of land that you bought for 110, 120 grand, and your friends are living in apartments on the West Coast, paying $3,000 a month for a 420 square foot apartment, who's better off? You are. You can always fly out and visit your friends. And you'll come back to a palatial home or something real stable. So think about housing is going to be critical in the years ahead. Get in position now. Get things going now. Don't wait. Save your money. Be a smart bachelor. That's why you're listening to the show. But do look at that Midwest area. I know a lot of you guys don't want to. It's not sexy. It's not hip and trendy. But your money ahead, I'm telling you this straight. If you missed the boat, if you didn't get out to the Rocky Mountains to do your mountain biking and all that back in the day and you failed to take action or you were too young, well, that's the cards that you've been dealt. You got to play the cards you are dealt in life. Play your best hand. Some of you guys, you might be better off in the Midwest. I think you'll like it. I went to school up there. I know people that have lived up there for their entire lives, and they've carved out a nice life for themselves. Bachelor and married to boot, both. Well, we thank you all for being here tonight for our great show. The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Hope you're here every month. Thank you for the calls and letters. I wish you all very well on your journey. And remember, God save the Bachelor King.